Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
Again, thank you very much for being on my show and for your presence on my show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So I've gone through a profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Okay.
So before that, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Yeah. So my name is Brian Morrison. I am a senior developer I am a senior developer educator at a company called Clerk, which focuses on simplifying authentication for builders and people who need authentication in their web apps. Before that, I was doing very similar work at PlanetScale. I've held roles from being network administration and systems administration. I've done help desk. I've done full stack software development. So I've held many different roles in IT. I've been in tech for over 15 years at this point. I love everything about technology. I always have, and continuing to grow. And one of my main missions is to help other developers who are looking to learn things. To make it simpler for them, because I'm a self-taught developer, and I struggled a lot in my early days. So trying to save others from some of the pain that I might have experienced.
You are from?
I am from the United States. I'm in a little town in Kentucky called Lexington.
Great. So before talking more about your present work, can you share how you started like 15 years ago? What was your motivation to come into IT?
Yeah, so I was going to college, and I got connected with somebody who managed an IT store. And when I told him that I was interested in working there, he gave me a shot and let me work there. And I was basically in help desk at the store. I liked fixing computers. I like to tell the joke that when I was young, I used to break our computer all the time. So I finally learned how to fix them, so I stopped getting in trouble for breaking them. So started working there and realized that I could do as good of a job on my own. So I left there to be an independent IT consultant. And then it was during that time frame that I learned how to code, how to write Android applications of all things. I used to find local coffee shops and go work off of the Wi-Fi into the late hours of the evening, and basically read the documentation around Android apps and Java and different books and stuff. And it kind of all progressed from there. You're editing this, right? Just to clarify.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Allergies are really bad out here right now, so my throat is a little scratchy this morning.
No problem. So senior developer advocate. So what's your responsibility and what's your role is about?
So I'm in what I think is a little bit of a different focus than developer advocate as developer educator, where my primary goals are content creation. So I'll write blog articles, I'll create YouTube videos, I'll interact with people on Twitter to help them understand the product that I work with better, which currently is Clerk. But it's all with the end goal of making developers' lives easier. So making sure they can quickly use Clerk as a product. Or even if I'm independently teaching something that is not Clerk, like I've recently been working a lot with the Neon as a database. So I've got some content planned around Neon that will hopefully help developers learn how to work with Neon databases using Next.js or React. But the ultimate goal is just make the lives of developers easier by trying to educate them as best I can.
Can you tell more about Clerk products and also Neon?
Yeah, so Clerk is an authentication platform. So the goal is to simplify authentication for people who are building web applications. Predominantly right now, React and Next are kind of the key audiences that we try and build for, but we also support we support Go as a language. We support all sorts of different front end languages, even Astro, which a community integration for Astro was just recently released. So on top of that, we also offer things like user management and social sign on. So if you've seen those login buttons where you can click a button and log in with a Google account or GitHub account. Those all can be done very, very easily through Clerk. And then there's any features that might be built around managing users and authentication. That's primarily what Clerk focuses on, is making that process easier.
So creating content for Clerk can be on YouTube from through blog. So how is that experience, and I mean, how many articles have you written, and how many YouTube videos that have been uploaded?
Well, currently, I recently just started at Clerk not too long ago, so there's nothing as public yet, but I've got one article that is ready to go. We're just waiting on a couple of different pieces internally to wrap up. I've got two more that are in flight. I have posted a couple of longer form articles that used Clerk on my own Twitter account or on my own blog that just use the authentication pieces of Clerk to just as a demonstration piece for whatever I'm creating. I do try and create something every single day, even if it's a small educational tweet. That's one of the things that I personally like to do because it helps keep me in a flow of always building things, always whether it's writing, recording. There are even times where I've recorded like small 60-second videos that I'll just upload directly into Twitter and share about how to do something with Clerk or with any other company that I'm currently. I want to say working with, but working with is not the right term. I'm a fan of the tech space, so I'll just pick something up even if they're not paying me, and I'll start building something with it and show people what I'm building and show people how I built the thing just to make it easier for them. Neon's a good example of that, where they're not paying me to build anything for them. I'm not employed by them, but I recently started using the product and I really like it, so I'll show other people what I like about it.
And 15 years of IT experience, what it taught you, and what you are teaching people.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question one more time?
15 years of IT industry experience, what this industry taught you personally, and what you are educating the world today through your platforms.
Oh, I have a there's a wide range of things that I've learned over the years. Like I said earlier on, I've been in IT as well as software development and now content creation. So I've done things such as work with Cisco routers, and I built servers and racked them and wired them up to a network. I've worked with SAN infrastructure like Big Iron Storage that's connected over Fiber Channel. I don't really teach any of that stuff because it's not really the stuff that it's not something someone can easily pick up a laptop and learn how to do, right? So what I focused on over the years is a mix of JavaScript, cloud infrastructure. I like Go. Go is one of my favorite backend languages. I've also have a pretty I have a pretty wide background in .NET, which is where I was working professionally before I became a full-time content creator. So I will pick topics and things that I've built and just try and spin them out into pieces that other people can understand. Because a lot of the projects that I have created, both independently and for my employers, there often isn't kind of a clear path on how to do that thing out there in the wild. It's just something that I've kind of pieced together as I've tried to make progress on a specific project or towards a goal. So I'll take that experience and I will try and turn it into a piece. I'll first decide whether or not it makes sense as an educational piece, because sometimes there are some very like strong edge cases that no one probably is going to learn anything from, but I have to do it anyway. That stuff doesn't make sense. But if it's something like if it's something that I think other developers will gain value of, I'll try and turn that around into something to teach other people.
You have worked as a software developer, full stack developer. You know how things work. Now you are trying to tell people how to use it. So how is that experience, being a developer, now creating content and letting people know how it will be useful?
You cut out on me again. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that question one more time?
So you was a developer. You used to use the products, and you know how things will work. Now you become a full-time content creator and letting people know how it will work. So how is this transition that you see in yourself?
It's a little bit of a challenge, honestly, because I do actually like building full stack applications. I like working in big complex code bases and trying to like debug things or build complicated features. I even like talking to other other, whether even if it's not necessarily other developers, but other companies. I've worked a lot in the integration space, like working with other companies to integrate with their APIs and build systems like webhooks or authentication frameworks before Clerk. And it's been an interesting transition over the last couple of years because I don't necessarily get to do that as much as I can. So there's a little hesitation sometimes when creating things that are bigger because part of me worries that I might have lost some of my edge. But one of the things that I have gained from having experience as a full-time software developer is I can look at somebody, what somebody else is doing, and potentially mention areas in which they can improve. So if they're not perhaps structuring, if they're not optimizing something in AWS, for example, I could make suggestions on how they could possibly improve things as they go. But at the same time, I have to keep on top of my own skills because platforms like AWS change so frequently, that nothing ever stays the same. So that's it's definitely a challenge, I would say. But I am blessed with that experience that I can share with others, to try and help make their lives easier.
And what kind of project that you worked on, and what are the technology skills that you have?
Before I became a content creator, I worked at a small company out of Chicago, which is where I'm originally from. That was an IO, it was a telematics IoT company. So I would work with other hardware manufacturers to build interfaces for their devices to send data to our systems, and then that data would get transformed into a common object model that the rest of the system could understand. And then what our users could do is create things like reports or see in real time on a map where their devices were. They could gather data from the devices themselves to make decisions, make business decisions based off of that. And I worked on that whole stack. So the back end was all .NET, Microsoft SQL Server. I worked with Angular and React on the front end. And it was just a matter of making sure that as data came into our system, that it was ingested properly. And if there were errors, obviously handle them, make sure they're handled elegantly. And some of that work at times would also have me building out interfaces that our users would interact with. So for example, one of the devices that I worked quite a lot on was a real-time video camera device. So I had to build the WebSockets infrastructure in order to ingest that video. And then on the front end, build the system that would also hook into that and then render the video on the front end so people could actually get a real-time look into what the cameras on their devices were showing. So it was a pretty interesting job. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of work involved, but it was very fulfilling.
Tell me something about that, like how it is helping humans and businesses to solve their problems.
About Clerk, you said?
Correct.
So authentication, depending on who you ask, can be a little challenging, especially for people who are not in security space. And even I myself, I work for an authentication company. I don't consider myself a security expert, but I do have quite a lot of experience in authentication and whatnot. And the building a secure platform can be a little bit of a challenge. So that's where Clerk comes in. Clerk will kind of take some of the risk away from companies who need authentication in their applications, because obviously most web applications do need some form of authenticating users. So we create our whole framework and our platform built around security best practices, so developers don't have to worry about it. Specifically, one of the things that we really try and cater towards is front-end developers, like people who are building applications in Next and React. There has long been this kind of and I was in an interesting position in my last company because I was a full stack developer. So I didn't have the frictions of going from, hey, if I'm building something on the front end, now I have to submit a ticket to the back end team and they have to build out whatever I need them to before I can continue the work that I did. I mean, I was in a unique position where I could just do it on both sides. But there are plenty of engineering teams out there where if a front end developer needs something added to an API, for instance, they have to request it from the backend team. Then the backend team's got to like go through their entire process of updating the stack or updating their application. And then finally, once that's done, they can go to the front end team and say, okay, the thing you requested is done. Now you can continue to work on it. Now from the authentication specific angle, Clerk tries to simplify that whole process by kind of Not eliminating the requirement for a backend developer. I don't want to go as far as to say that, you know, that's true, but no long front-end developers can very easily just drop in our components directly into the React and Next applications, and then they get authentication without having to worry too much about the whole backend side of things. So it's a pretty cool approach to authentication. There are a lot of other companies out there, and I don't have any off the top of my head, but they try and perform something like a backend as a service where you don't necessarily have to worry about the database. You don't have to worry about the API. You just kind of like send your data to an endpoint and it kind of handles the rest of that. It feels like Clerk does that, but specifically for authentication.
You have been in technology space for more than 15 years. You saw the evolution of technology. You saw the gradual change that is happening over years in software development, in web applications. So as a developer, as a full stack developer, so how do you define this change? How do you define this constant change that is happening in the technology? And right now you are an educator. As a developer, you're telling the new developers how things will work and how it will be useful and how your developer experience is helping you to sell to the new users or new developers.
Yeah, what's interesting over the years that I've noticed is we seem to have come full circle on a lot of things. So for instance, when I first started learning how to code, server-side rendered applications were kind of the main way to do it, right? And then the new hot thing was this whole concept of Ajax, where you have the front end that has jQuery. And it pulls information from an API and then it can render it and it makes for these real-time applications. Like real-time might not be the right word I'm looking for, but much more interactive applications. And it was like that for years. And then NoSQL comes along, places like Mongo or DynamoDB and AWS, and they're like, hey, you don't need to structure your data anymore. And now everything gets just kind of shoved into a document database and you can request it that way. So those were fads at the time, and they were great. And now I'm noticing that things are starting to come back to the older ways of doing things, where you have Next.js that renders application server side and ships the page once it's finally been created. And then you have companies like Neon, who is doing serverless Postgres, where the focus has shifted away from doing something on a NoSQL database back to doing relational databases like they've been doing for decades at this point. So I think one of the things that being in tech for so long has kind of shown me is that fads will come in cycles, where something pops up and it's the new hot thing and the way that everyone's trying to do it, but there's not necessarily going to be the way that things are in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. You know, things change and evolve and go in cycles. So one of the that's kind of the big thing that I've taken away from my career is people always have to constantly be learning the new ways of doing things. And I think to truly be successful to be very successful as a developer, I think you can still be a successful developer by focusing on the things that you're really good at and doubling down on that. But to stay current with tech, requires effort. And I think that effort genuinely pays off and allows developers to have more opportunities as technology changes and evolves over time.
So as a full stack developer, you might have worked for different businesses which belong to different industries. So in the long time, so is there any difference that you observed working for different companies which works for different purposes in the development for in the development viewpoint?
I don't know that different industries necessarily make a difference. I've worked, there are three main industries that I can think of I've worked at. And while the business knowledge and the business domain is different between the different industries, a lot of the requirements are the same. A lot of the technology used underneath is the same. Like, for instance, I've worked professionally more, I have my most experience as a .NET developer professionally. I know several other languages and I built my own tools with a lot of other languages, but .NET is where a lot of what I come from. At the end of the day, you need a front end that talks to a back end that talks to a database. And there are other little tweaks and things that happen, in order to make the business applications work properly. but a lot of them are built on top of the same foundation. Now, the big differences between working in different industries is if you can get that industry knowledge, if you can really deeply understand what the business is doing, not just what the code is doing, but what the business is doing and why the business is making the decisions that they're making, you can put yourself into a very unique position where you become much more indispensable. Because when I was working at my previous company, when I was a full stack developer in the telematics space, I knew the stack inside and out. I knew the back end, I knew the front end, I knew how things talked. But if somebody else knows Angular and .NET, they could come in and learn that too. No big deal, right? I don't want to say no big deal. That's dramatically simplifying it or making it seem too easy. But the fact that I understood the business side of the telematics space and like why we talked to the specific companies that we did and how to talk to integration partners and create that process and that flow, it made me more valuable to the company because then the business leaders didn't need to take so much time to help me understand why we were doing the things we were doing. Or I could make better decisions on my own without having to engage my manager because I kind of knew what the expectation was besides building something and then presenting it and them saying, no, this doesn't solve the business use case. Getting the understanding of the business use cases, I think is very challenging, but also probably one of the most important thing that developers can do. And it makes them resistant towards technologies like these AI software engineers that are coming out. Like that's interacting with people and understanding the business is not way more important than understanding the code, but it is definitely a vital piece to the puzzle.
What are your qualities that are making you to be good in understanding the business side of the technology and also be a good developer?
I think it's a matter of being patient and being willing to talk to other people within an organization to understand what their jobs are, what their roles are, and why they do what they do. Because once you understand that, you can kind of create a mental model of how things should work on top of not just how the front end talks to the API. So getting involved with other key members of the business is probably one of the things that has made me the most successful. And honestly, working on communication skills. So I allow people to drop time on my calendar, random people I've never met. My calendar, my cal.com link is out there for the world to use. And it lets people create a 30-minute window where I could just have a conversation with them because I'm interested in meeting people. I'm interested in helping people. And honestly, I am not naturally a strong communicator. It takes practice for me too. So selfishly, I am able to practice my communication skills with others. And I think that has also given me a huge benefit. Being willing to talk to people, being willing to just learn from others and absorb that and understand how it can apply to my role within a specific company has been a huge help for me.
Is there any particular experience or a project that you worked with that made you that made the maximum potential of yours to use on it?
One of the most challenging projects I ever worked on was optimizing the front end of an application for at the telematics company. Actually, was they that we had a new customer come on board that actually had a lot of devices we needed to track, and it was causing the front end of the application to slow to a crawl. So I had to create the necessary API endpoints to talk to the database in order to aggregate data from I don't know. I can't even remember how many devices it was. I think it was nearly 50,000 records, and calculate averages to figure out where in space those devices were to then aggregate that on a map. And because if the front end of the application wasn't originally designed for that, I had to go and tweak almost the entire different parts of almost the entire application in order to accommodate this new approach to displaying information on the map. That was probably one of the most that was one of the most challenging projects for a number of reasons. One, I was relatively new to the company, so I didn't understand the business quite as well as I did later on. I understood the goals. I understood from a technology standpoint what they were trying to accomplish and why they needed to accomplish it, which did help. But I had to use my database knowledge. I had to use my .NET backend development knowledge. I had to use my knowledge for benchmarking API endpoints to make sure that things were as performant as possible. I had to understand how to like essentially reverse engineer a front end because I'd never worked with Angular JS at the time or worked with it very, very briefly. So I had to quickly understand how Angular JS worked and then how this specific implementation of Angular JS worked in order to find out all the different points in order to tweak to make the new feature possible. And at the same time, I also had to communicate a lot with the other developers on the team because I was so new. So I didn't even understand all the areas of the application where the changes I was making could potentially affect the application. So there was definitely a period of back and forth between myself and numerous other developers on the team to make sure that as I was making changes, asking them if they could test, like showing them where the change was made and asking them if they could test various parts of the application. And then tell me where I could go back and potentially improve it, or no, this broke. We need to go back and figure this out. So it's like, okay, now I know where this broke. Let me go back and make some more tweaks and make sure not only does part A still work the way that I need it to, but also now part B works the way it's supposed to and not negatively affected by the changes I made. One of the most challenging projects, but honestly, one of my favorite projects because of how challenging it was. I really like challenging things in software development. I like trying to like decipher and figure out where I need to, like how I need to work with code bases in order to make to add features and make sure new bugs are not introduced.
So as an educator, as a developer, as an IT expert, being in technology for all these years, you might have worked with a large scale businesses and also businesses which belongs to a small scale. So how different it is working for them, and is there any drastic change that you observe working for big and small?
Honestly, most of my experience is working with smaller businesses. The largest business I ever worked with was, I think, 1,500 employees, which is not small, but it's definitely in the medium-sized business. It's not tens or hundreds of thousands of employees. And the one thing I have noticed is the larger a business gets, the slower it grows. It's the slower things progress, which isn't always a bad thing because it does give you some time to breathe between projects and time to like think about what's going on. Because working in startup world, which is where I've kind of been for the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years, things move very quickly. I like the stress of things moving very quickly, again, because I like challenges. But I've noticed that smaller companies tend to move a lot quicker and things change a lot more frequently. So sometimes the knowledge you had just last week or 2 weeks ago might not be valid anymore. Like you got to rethink about how things are working. Whereas in larger companies, they work a little more carefully because they have more employees that they have to make sure are not negatively affected. So there's more time for things to be completed as opposed to trying to get everything, you know, done and out the door as quickly as possible. I don't think that you could work at a breakneck speed in a company after a certain point without causing a lot of people pain by breaking things.
And what do you understand working for different applications about the product or the service that you are using for those applications? How it should be and what in order to make the businesses be successful?
Oh, that's a good question. I think regardless of how big the company is and regardless of where you're working, I'm going to go back to my answer of understanding the business. If you can understand the business and you can align yourself with the business and you can make sure that your goals, Let me look at this from a different angle. So back when I was an independent IT consultant, I did a lot of studying on how businesses worked. And something has stuck with me all these years. I haven't done this in a long time, but companies do things for one of three reasons: to either make money, to save money, or to save time. So if you could identify areas within a company how you can help them make money, or save time, you're helping the company succeed. And helping the company succeed is ultimately what every employee's job is, right? Companies don't hire individuals because they're trying to fill a need. For a company to grow and to succeed, they have a need. When they fill that need, they hire developers, they hire salespeople, they hire marketers, they hire, you know, whatever position they're looking to do. So regardless of what position you're in, if you can identify what the needs of the business are and then answer those needs, even if they don't necessarily fit into your job description. Like I am on for clerk, I go on Twitter every single day and I find people who might be struggling with clerk and I just answer questions, right? Partially because I like being on Twitter and I like talking to people. But when I was hired a clerk, no one said, "Hey, you're going to need to go on Twitter and talk to people every single day." But I just do because I want to, because I understand that there is that need that needs to be filled, and I could be the person that fills that need. And I've gotten tons of positive feedback just for doing that alone. So yeah, long-winded answer of it's a long-winded way of saying if you can find out what the business needs are and fill those needs, you're going to be in a good spot.
So it is an additional quality for you to have a understanding about the business side of the technology, apart from being a full-time, full stack developer or a software developer. So, how this this quality came in you, and what is making you to try to understand other businesses and the business side of the technology? And when you're talking with the owners of different businesses, how is that experience?
I think talking with the other business owners, obviously everyone's different, but everyone's also human, right? So I think there's this notion of CEOs are somehow, CEOs or owners or managers or senior developers, whatever, like they're somehow superior or above you. And really the reason that they're in the positions that they are is because they're filling a need, just like you're being brought on board to fill a need. But they're also people at the end of the day. So, you can talk to them just like we're talking right now. Have an open dialogue, have an open communication. Not to say everybody's going to respond to things the same way. So you might have to adjust your approach to different things. But to answer your first question, how did I come upon this? I think it ultimately just boils down to my desire to make sure that I'm doing the best job that I possibly can for wherever I'm being commissioned to do. Right? So I don't like to give half effort on things that I'm working on. I like to make sure that I'm going above and beyond for as to the best of my ability with whatever's being assigned to me. And then, understanding that I need to know the business and I need to talk to people within the business to do it well just kind of came as a natural evolution of that.
And how easy for you to match the business requirements with the technology product or the services that you have?
I wouldn't say it's easy at all. It can be a huge challenge, because business pe people who are in different leadership roles, it's a little different in the startup world because people who are in the leadership roles tend to understand the technology side of things really well. But if you're going to work at a traditional company, the leadership team or managers aren't necessarily as well connected with technology as the individual contributors are. So a couple jobs ago, I worked as an API developer for a logistics company. My boss did not know code. He knew enough to like poke at it maybe a little bit, but he had no idea how to write software. So he had that trust in me that I was going to be doing the right thing. But at the same time, I had to make sure that I was justifying the things that I was doing. So like if I needed money to spend on some framework that I needed to implement or a thing, like I had to come up with reasons to do that and I had to explain it to him. So I don't know if this is answering your question, but it differs per company and sometimes it can be easy and sometimes it can be a challenge and it's going to be different everywhere. It just depends on who you're talking to and understanding where their knowledge gaps are. Trying to understand where their knowledge gaps are is probably one of the biggest things that can help you. Because if you can come to a meeting and understand where all the potential knowledge gaps of the people you're talking to are going to be, and then have answers to those ahead of time, not only are you going to streamline that whole meeting, you're probably going to blow everyone away. But like, oh yeah, I knew I was going to have that question, and this person already answered it. So that was really cool. That made my job a whole lot easier.
And how you develop this kind of communication skills in order to make understand the non-technical small business owners to understand about technology products or services?
It all boils down to what I had mentioned earlier. Save time, save money, make money. Those are the three things that businesses do. I would add another thing that I've learned along the years, from one of the creator of GTD, which is a productivity management system tool framework that I've used for years, David Allen. He said in one of his seminars that bosses don't do things for your reason. They do things for their reason, and their bosses do things for their reason. So everyone in a leadership position is ultimately trying to do things because they have goals and responsibilities as well. So if you can figure out how to speak to their goals and responsibilities, you're going to get a much more positive response. But as far as like how did I develop the skill? A lot of it's just practice. I mean, as with many skills, like you can't just like if I'm a React developer, right? I don't know anything about I know very I can't say anything, but I know very little about Angular, the newer versions of Angular. I've worked a lot with AngularJS, but I haven't worked with newer versions of Angular. I can't jump into Angular and expect myself to be super productive with it on day one. It takes time and practice and just working through all the different hard points in order to understand Angular, in order to understand how to build something of any substance with it as a front-end framework. And the same is true for many skills, including soft skills like software or like communication, like talking with others. So practicing the skill of communication is the best way of getting better at communication, which is why I do coffee chats, because I'm not a perfect communicator, but over the years I've been doing coffee chats, and I hang out with people, and I go to meetups, and I go to conferences, and I love being around those people, but I also get practice just talking with people, because it's so easy in our space to just like wall yourself into your desk and just focus on the code and write the code. And that is a huge part of being a developer. But I would venture that just as huge part of being as a developer is being able to talk to other people and talk to those around you. It makes such a big impact on your career and your ability to just resonate with others.
What is the minimum and the maximum time that you take to understand the architecture of the application in order to give the expected requirement?
I think it's less of a minimum and maximum time, because every project is different, every business is different. It's more important to make sure that the key stakeholders of the project, the people who are either paying for the project or the managers or other developers, it's more important to make sure everybody's on the same page. And you just keep working at making sure everybody's on the same page. Now, if everyone is on the same page, sometimes that takes. I've been in meetings where like we're building a feature, and within 30 minutes, someone goes, "Hey, this is what I think we should do." And I'm like, "Yep, that sounds good. Yep, that sounds good. What about this?" We answer this question. 30 minutes later, you know exactly what everybody's working on. You know what you're doing. And I've been in projects where it takes weeks between meetings and talking with this person and that person. It generally depends on how many people are involved. The more people who are involved, the longer it typically takes to define business requirements for any given project. But it's less the amount of time spent on defining requirements is less important than making sure everybody has a good understanding of the requirements and that everybody can iterate as the project may potentially change. So even after 30 minutes of discussion in a project, you might find after a couple of hours of coding, like, "Oh, this isn't going to work the way we thought it was going to. Let's get back into the meeting room and let's talk about how we're going to address this thing." And you might throw out all the original requirements. You might have to reposition what you're doing. And that's just kind of part of the process. That's true of any business, whether it's software developers or just, people trying to make things happen within a company.
You worked on databases, you worked on backend, you worked on frontend, and in your complete 15+ years of experience. So can I say you have understood the 360 degrees of technology business and also inside technology business?
Repeat that one more time. Can you say I understand the three different? Sorry, I'll let you repeat that. I want to soak that up one more time and see if I can agree with that or not.
So you have been in technology more than 15+ years. You have understood how databases work and how the backend work, how the frontend work, how actually the application work working for different businesses. So can I say you have understood the business side of the technology at the same time the development of any application that you work with? Can I say 360 degrees of actually how technology business works?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I have a pretty good feel for understanding why companies are doing the things that they're doing, and then how to apply technology to that. And then, like I said, with many of my other answers, every company's different, which is what makes this fun too. Cause I, at some point in the future, I might leave Clerk and go work for somebody else. And then I kind of get to start all over again, understanding the people, understanding the requirements of the business, understanding how I can help as best as possible. But one of the other benefits that understanding all these things does is I get to see past the hype of some things. Like I never bought into the, and I don't know if I'm gonna upset people by saying this, I never bought into the idea of Web3, only because it didn't make any sense. It seemed like a cool and interesting use case of blockchain, but it from a business perspective, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I say that with ignorance because I have not taken any kind of deep dive into Web3 to try and understand it further, but on the surface, I kind of just looked past that fad, and I didn't understand how it could apply to the real world. So I went on to the next big thing. And then at the same time, like I've fallen for fads too in the past. I don't think GraphQL necessarily is a fad, but I think for a while it definitely had some overblown hype around it. I fell into the fad of thinking GraphQL was going to solve all the world's problems, and it turns out no, it's another way of building an API. So, yeah, it's yeah, I would agree with that, yes.
What is your desire to do in coming days by understanding today's technology, the present day technology, and thinking about the future technology? Do you have any particular thing that you want to do?
If I had to make a decision, there are two ways that I think my career would go next. I would love to get more involved in the AI space because I think AI is fascinating. I'm not one of the people that thinks AI is coming for all of our jobs, but I do think it's creating a massive shift in the industry towards things. So for instance, a lot of my header images that I create for my blog posts, those are all AI generated because I could sit there with Photoshop or whatever and craft a perfect image, or I could just send a prompt off to an AI image platform and it gives me something back. And it's like, that saved me a lot of time. And now I don't have to do anything. I use Copilot every single day because now that I am more of a content creator and less of a full-time developer, some of that edge has been lost because my focus is on other things. So Copilot does help me keep more current with some common things like building API endpoints in Go. That's something that is very consistent all the time. So I can let Copilot do the things it needs to do, and then I can tweak things as it goes. The other thing I would love to maybe pivot into is UI UX design. I used to be more artistic than I am now. I used to draw and do stuff in Photoshop a lot when I was younger. And I always liked digital art. So I may eventually want to go down the path of becoming a designer. And one of the other reasons outside of the artistic itch that I'd like to scratch with that, I feel like it would round out a lot of the skills that I have, such as infrastructure, software development, architecture. And now if I can design an application as well, like that would more or less make me the full package, more than I know now, at least.
Do you have words to the developers and the business owners for watching this and listening to you from anywhere on this planet?
I'm not sure about business owners because it's been a long time since I've owned a business, but to developers, I would say one of the best ways that you can grow in the industry is to connect with others, to build a network, and to share your knowledge publicly. Because there are a lot of developers, even new developers, even somebody who's building Hello World applications. It's important to understand that there are so many others who want to be in the position that you're in. There are so many others who haven't even taken the time to start to install VS Code and install Node and create a Hello World application. And you, as a new developer, will resonate with those people more than someone like me who's been in the industry for 15 years, whatever, right? You have a different perspective. You have a very unique perspective for those people. So don't discredit yourself by saying, well, I don't know that much, so I'm not going to create content. I'm not going to write blog posts. I'm not going to do videos. Like, try and stop yourself from stopping yourself and just create something that other people will enjoy. I'm not saying you're going to get massive traction and become famous overnight. It takes a long time. I mean, I've been on Twitter for, I don't know, over 10 years at this point. I still only have like 2,500 followers, where I see some people get on there and they have 50,000 followers in 3 months. Like everything happens kind of in its own time, and that's not the point. The point is One of my favorite things, one of my friends, Aaron Francis, who I used to work with at PlanetScale before a clerk, said in a talk that I got to watch him see is publishing your work online increases the surface area for your luck. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to have success, but it increases the chances that success are going to come to you. And a lot of the reason why I am even in the position that I'm in right now is because I started creating content and networking 5 years ago. That's why when I got laid off from my previous position, I already had a job within 30 hours because I was connected enough in our industry to say, hey, everybody, this is who I am. This is what I do. I need something. And then I almost immediately got reached out to. And it's just because I put that time in over the years in order to make something happen, you know, now in 2024. So, yeah, I think those are the things that I like to share with people who are new to the industry.
Wonderful. Can you tell your social media presence or your online presence to my podcast listeners? Can you spell it?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I'm Brian MMDev, BrianMMDev. Twitter is the place to find me the most. I'm Brian MMDev pretty much everywhere, whether that's YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Threads, if you're into that thing. Also, my website is brianmorrison.me, BrianMorrison.me. And I hope to catch you all online, I guess. Yeah, and for the record, anyone who does reach out to me on social media, DMs are always open. Always happy to start a conversation about anything you might have.
I'll share your web links in the description, also on the screen, also on my website as well. People who find this video or this content anywhere in the internet can able to see your presence and can able to follow and can learn from you.
Yes, sounds great.
And what is your observation as a developer, as a person who is into business understanding? What is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
I watched a little bit of yours. I think what you're doing is very cool. It seems like you have a lot of different people that you invite onto your podcast, and I think that's very cool. A lot of it's unique. It's different. It doesn't seem so hyper focused on a specific framework or technology, which I think is very awesome.
I have done masters in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working for a UK company as a DevOps engineer. That's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the IT industry and also who belongs to different industries and who belongs to different countries, trying to explore and trying to understand how they are solving problems and what is their background. How this experience, this collection of knowledge is going to be helpful for me in my future.
I think it's going to be extremely valuable because you get so many different unique perspectives from people who are in the industry. I mean, going back to what I was just saying about new developers creating content, everybody's perspective on things are different. So I've done some DevOps work in my days too. And I guarantee, like, if we talked about our approaches to DevOps, there probably would be some differences. There would be a lot of commonalities between us, but there would be some differences as well. And I think those differences are where people can learn from other people. You know, if you can talk about your approach to things and you can defend your approach to things, you not only have the opportunity to learn, but you have the opportunity to help so many other people as well. And I think that's awesome.
Right. Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yes, of course.
Also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Of course you can. You can use it wherever you need to.
Thanks, Brian, again for your valuable time and sharing your experience and answering some of my questions.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Sai. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Keep going. Keep inspired.
All right. Thanks. You too. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.